T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's go to the Wester Hotline now because it's our normal Saturday morning meetup here with Sal Capaccio. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you? Yeah, it seems a little weird suddenly not to have a game on Sunday, but here we are.
Weird for not having a game Sunday. There's a lot going on in the sporting world. I think, you know, a good place to start, Sal, is I have the feeling that for the most part, if you're the Bills, I think you're relieved a little bit to know that you've got a schedule that you can put on paper and start preparation for. And then there's probably a part of them, and I would say maybe more coaches than players, that are disappointed, that are upset that they're now going to have a modified schedule for the following week, which, not to say that this team's looking forward or looking past this Titans game for the Kansas City Chiefs game, but, you know, I do think that that's something that everyone, I know fans are really kind of looking back and saying, well, now the Chiefs are getting extra time and the Bills aren't to prepare for that that game, and that's obviously one of the big games that everyone kind of circled on their schedule. So what do you think? I mean, at this point, I know they're probably relieved the game is happening and they know when it's going to happen, but I'm sure the mixing up of the schedule can't sit greatly with the Bills.
You know, I think in the big scheme of things, when you plan for a season, I think that's right, Nate. We're like, okay, we know when we're going to play the Titans, when we're going to play the Chiefs, and so on. Like, I think in the grand scheme of things, but we all know what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are all about. And, you know, as someone who's, you know, embedded with the team every day, pretty much covering them for, you know, since they've arrived here, I can tell you, those are the kinds of things that they don't try to worry about. They just stay focused on every day, and they really do. And then I know that's a cliche, you control what you can control. I understand that, but they truly live that. And as much as there's a lot of moving parts here, for them it's about, okay, what's next tomorrow? What's next for what we have to do? Let's go drill to drill. Let's go practice to practice. Let's go day to day. And that's truly is. So I don't think that that's creeping into what they're thinking. I think big picture, sure. Hey, you know, we had a chance to be Thursday night against the Chiefs. Allen Mahomes, you know, maybe a player thinks like that, whatever. Now they get a whole Tuesday night spot to themselves, you know what I mean? So it's in prime time. I think from a fan's perspective, there's so much more of that. Oh, it's unfair here, disadvantage there. Look, I mean, would any Bills fan be complaining today if the Titans game was canceled and the Bills got 11 days to prep for the Chiefs and the Chiefs only had 4? Like, that could have been a possibility.
Right.
Bills fans weren't saying how unfair that would be to Kansas City. So I think you just have to take the word fair and kind of throw it out right now. Take the word advantage or disadvantage, kind of throw it out and just say, look, there's going to be a lot of adjustment going on this year, and whatever it is, it is. And I think from everything I know about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and the way they run their program and the way they coach their guys, that's the way that they think, which is, hey, don't worry about all that stuff. What do we know? What we know is we have a game on Tuesday. Let's prepare. Then after that, we have a game on, let's say, Sunday. We prepare. That's how they're going to approach every single day.
Yeah, I've got to imagine, Sal, that the word fair probably isn't even in Sean McDermott's vocabulary. But I do think there is a level of fairness that at least should have some light shined upon it. And the area that I guess I'm talking about is a team like the Bills, who I give them credit because they've really walked the line. They've done everything that you could ask of an NFL team to do to keep their players, keep the organization safe, and it's not their fault that now the game schedule is modified. It's one of their opponent's fault. And I guess if you look at it from that perspective, that's where I'm going to give at least a little bit of credence to a Bills fan that says, hey, well, what the heck? But at the same time, Sal, I think your point is spot on. Like, the Bills, Sean McDermott isn't up standing up in front of the team feeling sorry for themselves and talking about how unfair this is. They're just going to take it how it goes.
And that's right. And look, the NFL is a soap opera. That's what it is. I mean, we all kind of tune in for all the drama, you know, that goes along with it, whether that's players or coaches or teams or firings or, you know, Ian Rappaport being suspended for crying out loud, right?
Right.
Whatever that's about, right? I mean, the NFL is a soap opera. That's what it is. So for fans, I totally get it. Like, that's where that's what we do for a living. That's what you're going to do today. You're going to talk about it. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you that the Bills aren't thinking that way. You know, from what I would know about them and how they go about things, they're thinking about winning the next game, which is Tuesday night against the Tennessee Titans. And yes, you're right, Nate. I think the one thing is we can all be mad at the Titans because of this. Look, I'm mad at the Titans because I'm doing my part to try and make sure that we can get through this season. Everybody who covers a team is. Everybody who's a broadcaster, everybody who's in football side of things, operations, you know, front offices, coaches. People are basically trying to do whatever they can to make sure they don't screw it up for everyone else. And here we have, seemingly, some players who may have screwed it up for everyone else, or at least an organization or people or whatever. That, from what we know, there's an investigation saying that, right? So I think for anybody to be upset at them, I would understand that because you don't want to be that team. Now, all of that said, let's remember something. If you're in Pittsburgh or Baltimore or another city today, you're not even really thinking that much or talking about it. It's really a story because it's Buffalo and it's us. Because I've heard so many people, how are they going to get through the rest of the season? It's one team. It really is one team. Yes, it was a big deal, but it was way more of a big deal here because the Bills were directly impacted. But around the league, like, they don't have to start pausing things or doing anything. It's literally one team that was put in this position.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. We're talking Bills-Titans, obviously game getting moved to Tuesday. So if you're tuning in tomorrow and you live under a rock and you don't hear pregame, well, this is why. So this is obviously, Sal, too. One of the things that I guess I always think about, especially with NFL teams, is they're sort of all creatures of habit. And I wonder what this game, do we see a sloppier matchup for both teams? I mean, this is going to be the first time in double-digit days. Are we talking almost 14 full days for the Tennessee Titans? I know it's at least 12 before they're going to be on the field to even be able to practice together. Not to mention, Sal, I think we're going to learn within the next hour from the Tennessee Titans who is and who isn't going to be able to play. I mean, they're going to have a ton of roster decisions to make. What are you expecting of quality of play from this game, considering there is just so much modification for it?
It's a great question. I don't know, because you're right. We're going to find out from the Tennessee side of things, first of all. And then the question, too, would be, could they have a guy come off COVID before the game? Maybe he's on the list. The way it works is if you're on the COVID-19 list, you can't play. You can't be around your team. But if you're asymptomatic and you have two negative tests separated by at least 24 hours, you can be taken off that list. So they could have a guy on the list today that might not be on the list and could play on Tuesday. So there's a lot of moving parts there. As of right now, they're going to have a, I'd say, pretty depleted roster from even some really good players. But those guys, several of them, could be back by Tuesday. We don't know about that. And then we'll even know from the Bills side of things. They're holding a walkthrough today. There's no media. We're going to get the official injury report game status from the Bills as well. Tre'Davious White, you know, he's missed a couple days of practice. Andre Roberts has missed a couple days of practice. So there's still a lot up in the air about who's going to be available on both sides of things. But you're right about Tennessee. Kind of, we don't know. There's a lot of balls juggling in the air. And then as far as the practice stuff you brought up, even Micah Hyde said, you know, the NFL's fraternity. They have friends and people they know on the Titans. And those guys are like, hey, I'm going to have to play a game here without practicing for 2 weeks. Like, they're concerned even about their own conditioning and safety as far as that. And I think it's a very valid concern. No matter whose fault you want to say this is or whatever, you know, that's really something the league has to think about when they shut these facilities down.
Yeah, and you know, Sal, this is a separate note, but there's reports today from RotoWorld that, like, Cam Newton has a chance to be able to return this week to play. And, you know, I know that for the most part when the league decided they were moving forward to play the season as it stands, that they really kind of put a lot of the procedure and protocol in the hands of these individual teams. There are some, you know, league mandates and league protocols, but for the most part, they've sort of punted the responsibility of putting these protocols together to the teams. And, you know, I think if you're a player, you know, seeing a player, at least this is what I thought. I thought if you're a guy that tests positive, that you're automatically missing at least two games.
No.
And I guess for me, it just... explain that better to me, Sal. If I'm under that impression, I'm not the only one. I saw somebody with a blue check mark say the same thing.
No. This is what you guys get for not paying attention to things I write back in late August before the camp starts. And I'm just kidding because there's so much obviously to it. But yeah, this is what happened. When they did the CBA modifications and things like that, one of the things that they brought up was the COVID-19 list and rules. And basically what it is, and I have to remember exactly now, Nate, because I went over it, you know, in depth at the time, but here's basically from what I can remember off the top of my head. If a player tests positive for COVID-19, he goes on the COVID-19 reserve list. There is no minimum at all that he has to be on there. All he has to do, again, as I said a little earlier, is test negative 2 times, separated by 24 hours. Once that happens, he can come back on. If he does miss a game, the team basically gets a roster exemption for him until he comes back. If he misses more than 4 games, I think it's 4 or more games, the team gets a 2-week roster exemption. If it's 3 or less, they still get a 1-week roster exemption, provided he has already missed a game. So that's just for the roster part. But for the player himself, they can come back. They literally can be on the list for like 3 days and then come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As long as they test negative 2 times, if they're asymptomatic and test negative 2 times, separated by 24 hours.
Well, perfect. Thank you, Sal, for that explanation. Sal, let's move a little bit into the game plan against this Tennessee Titans team on Tuesday. Obviously, we're going to have a couple more days to talk about this, but you know, with it being a few days out, one of the things that I've sort of been really, at least early on in the season with the Tennessee Titans, and we'll talk more about them next half hour with Teron Davenport of ESPN, who's going to join us and talk. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed about this Titans team, Sal, is up front, and this might be who ends up not being able to play might really play a factor into my thoughts about this matchup against this Titans defensive line. But they bring on Jadeveon Clowney. Jeffrey Simmons is one of the fine young, like one of the best young defensive linemen in football. He is on the COVID list. Whether or not he's available to play on Tuesday, I'm not sure. But like, when I look at the strength of this Titans team, I definitely am looking at the defensive backfield, Sal, and the defensive line. However, they really, if you look at the numbers through their first three games, they're not playing particularly well together as a unit, even though they're a team full of a ton of really good defensive players.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's it kind of doesn't match up with what you think of them, right? Isn't that weird? Like, you kind of think about this big physical team that's going to pound at you and stop the run, and they're going to play that brand of football. It kind of hasn't really borne out like that this year. You know, they do have Ryan Tannehill still playing well. I'm a real big fan of their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith does a great job of, you know, putting them in a position to really maximize what talent they have. But you're right. I think this could be a game where Devin Singletary could really have a lot of success because they have not stopped the run very well. And if they're going to be missing several key parts on the defensive side, especially up front, you know, that might be the way to go. But here's the thing. I thought that last week about the game against the Raiders. But here the Bills go, and they activate 6 wide receivers and still throw it around the yard. You know what I mean? That's their identity now. I know that might be the way statistically to attack them, and you would think about that game planning wise, and maybe the Bills do. But I think it looks like to me, Nate, that the Bills have really kind of committed to this identity of being a spread offense and throwing the football around and using the run as really more of a complement to that.
So, Sal, one of the nice things about this extended little, I guess, break or downtime that the Bills are going to get is there is a couple of players that are hobbled. I think most notably the video a lot of us saw during practice this week of John Brown kind of coming up lame on what looked like a standard route. It looks like he's been having some problems with that calf. Do you expect this layover to give him and a guy like Zach Moss, too, who's missed some time because of a lower body injury, to maybe get the time necessary to be as close to 100% or be able to play on Tuesday?
Yeah, very, very lower body injury, as low as you can go, right? The toe. And we know that, you know, that could be something for a running back that's really challenging to come back from. Of course, the more time to rehab and get ready, you know, if this game was on Sunday, you would think, is Tre'Davious White going to be ready? Is John Brown going to be ready? But I would think so, Nate. I would think that, you know, they at least would give them a couple days. But we don't know. Again, the last time we were out there, that's when we saw the John Brown video. And then yesterday they didn't practice, but they gave an estimated injury report. Today, like I said, we won't be out there. But we will know. We will know, at the very least, I guess, as much as we can. They might say questionable for a guy like John Brown, you know. But we'll know today if anybody's declared out a little bit later today. The Bills will have to put out their final injury report. They'll also have to have, by 4 p.m. today, by the way, they'll also have to make any roster transactions for the weekend. I believe that's still the case, even though it is Tuesday, and there's so many weird things going on. But I think they still would have to do that by 4 p.m. today, which means that if they want to bring anybody up from the practice squad, which might give you an indication, by the way, depending on if they do that, who might be available and who might not be for the game, because they get those two free call-ups if they choose every week. So, yeah, I would think that this week, you know, but then you have a challenge because you're still only getting less days before the Kansas City game. Now, normally it'd be a Sunday game and then 4 days rest, 3 days, I guess. Now it's a Tuesday and maybe 4 days rest. We don't know. So maybe that at least helps them get a little healthier. But there are definitely some concerns on the Bills' side here.
Sale, you know, one of the guys that I think is most intriguing to talk about on the Bills' offense is Devin Singletary. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are, because I feel like, especially over the last 2 weeks, Sale, this offense, not that they didn't have their stride in the first two games where, I mean, the offense was putting up remarkable numbers, but it was against the Jets and Dolphins. And I think over the last 2 weeks against better opponents, this Bills team has really found its stride, at least in my opinion, efficiency-wise. It just seems like they're a well-oiled machine. How do you, when you're Brian Daboll, balance that, knowing that your offense, especially the run game, has looked a little bit more efficient with Devin Singletary in, when you're also trying to get reps for your rookie running back?
I don't even worry about the reps. You know what I mean? It's not about that anymore. At some point, he's going to get them. You know, whether Devin Singletary has a few bumps and bruises and you got to get him in there, or whether it's a game plan thing, you need a little more physicality from the running back spot, at some point, Zach Moss is going to have to carry the football a little bit. And Brian Daboll could not have it, to me, in his mind of, I need to give him the football. This is about winning games now. You know, the time for that is preseason. Time for that is training camp. Maybe the time for that is when you're up by 20 points in the fourth quarter, if you ever get a chance, or down by 20, you know, in the fourth quarter and it's late or whatever. I mean, those are the times to do things like that. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think, you know, this is an identity now for this team. We're going to spread it. Now, the Bills still, as you know, Nate, they run more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets than anybody in the league this year, which is amazing to say, but you see why. They have Stephon Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley and now Gabriel Davis. And I think Isaiah McKenzie has really done a nice job when he's been on the field, right? I think he's kind of been a forgotten man, but he's done a really nice job in a lot of different areas, including blocking for as small as he is. So I think they're going to continue with that. And when Zach Moss gets his opportunities, he gets his opportunities. But you cannot think going into a game, I need to get Zach Moss on the field. He's not a difference maker at this point. You know, hopefully down the road he is. And I think he's a nice complimentary piece. But he's not a difference maker that you have to make sure he gets his touches.
Sale, last thing before I let you go. I watched the entire Yankee game yesterday. And usually I don't really like even watching them, but I honestly thought it was one of the best 2-1 games that I've ever probably watched in terms of just a baseball game, especially one that I don't really have I wasn't really rooting for either team. I don't really like Tampa Bay either. But I mean, watching Gerrit Cole in that game absolutely dominate the first half of that baseball game. This is a serious question. I just don't know what else the Yankees can do if they can't win with that lineup and Gerrit Cole pitching as well as he did yesterday. I don't know how you can't get more than one run in that game. I know the Tampa Bay Rays it reminds me a lot of the 2015 Royals, where all they're asking for their starter to do is get to 3.5-4 innings and just give it to the bullpen because it's their best and most, their best asset. I just don't know if you're a Yankee fan, it's got to be tough because it's just like, what else do you do? Because you had the best pitcher in the game, you clearly had the best offensive lineup, and you still only mustered up one run.
It's a good question. I don't know what they can do. And it's frustrating. Now, look, I will give the Rays a lot of credit. They have really good pitching. They have a really good lineup. Their entire roster is just so, it's really diverse. They have so many different ways to attack you with speed and power and all that kind of stuff. And they're just very good. But their pitching staff, they have like four guys that can get to 97, 98 miles an hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's tough.
Now, I'll give them credit. It's just like kind of like the Bills and Rams. Like, oh, how can the Bills let that happen? Well, the Rams are good. You know what I mean? Like, they have really good weapons, and you can't just stop them all the time. But all of that said, I will not sit here and make an excuse as a Yankees fan. They pay a lot of money every year. They have an incredible lineup. There is no excuse not to score more runs. They have to. That is just on them. It is just a I don't know what else you can do other than put those guys in line. It's on them. It's in their feast or famine. How many times have we seen them score 10 runs in a game, right,
yeah,
or something like that?
Right.
And then we also see them kind of get shut down. I give the Rays a lot of credit, but, yeah, I'm mad. I'm kind of mad at some decisions Aaron Boone made. But at the end of the day, you got to hit the baseball, man. And they just didn't hit the baseball. And I've never been a big fan of Stanton trade, although I thought he played well this series. He had home runs in the playoffs. He had a good playoff series, playoffs overall. Never a big fan of that trade. I like the way the Rays have gone about and built their team, but I'd still take the Yankees, you know, hitting lineup, and yet here we are, and they only scored one run. So give the Rays credit, but it's frustrating for sure.
And the crazy thing is, Sal, is their one run came on like basically a miss from Judge. Like he just
right,
muscled the ball out of the park in the shortest area of the park. Otherwise, it was really impressive to watch that entire staff. I mean, credit to that Rays organization. A lot of those guys, if you're a normal baseball fan and you don't watch a ton of baseball outside of your team, you may not recognize a lot of those names on the Rays, but they sure as hell don't care whether or not you recognize their name,
no,
because they play the kind of baseball that this time of year, it doesn't matter what your payroll is, how much your starting pitchers are making. It, like that, all that stuff goes out the window. And to your point, I think it was a good game by the Rays. Not a lot you could be mad about. Sorry to bring it up, Sale. But
I I knew you were going to bring it up. And don't you lie. You know you were rooting against me. You hate him so much. Don't tell me you didn't have a rooting interest.
I actually really don't like the Rays at all. So it was actually, I felt a little dirty watching that game and rooting for the Rays. But, I mean, at the end of the day,
it would have been a way better story, though, if the Yankees against Astros, right? I mean,
agreed.
No matter what you get against the Dodgers is a great story. Yankees, Dodgers, or Astros, Dodgers, because of what happened. But
here's the thing, Sal. I might have actually found myself slightly rooting for the Yankees if the Astros-Yankees game was going to happen.
Well, I have a lot of friends that are Rays fans. We were at a text thread last night. I was yelling at them and swearing at them. And I told them, I said, I will give you guys the next series. I will root for the Rays, but I don't think I will against whoever they play in the NL.
Yeah.
So I'll do that because it is the Stros. But after that, I think my Rays rooting interest is done after the ALCS.
All right, my friend. Enjoy the day. Lick your wounds and get ready for spring training. It's all you can do.
All right, man. Talk to you.
Awesome. Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.